I want to read two more verses. You don't need to turn to it, but they're from Luke chapter 15, verses 7 and verse 10. You remember in Luke chapter 15, Jesus was telling three stories about the man who lost the one sheep, had 99 in the fold, lost the one, went looking for it and brought it home. And then the woman who she had 10 coins, lost one, and searched the house until she found it. And then the story of the prodigal son is in Luke chapter 15. But there's two verses. They both say about the same thing, but I want to read them to you. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then in verse 10, same thought. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want to ask you a series of questions to start my message. And if you can answer any of these questions, yes, I would just like you to stand to your feet and remain standing just until I ask you to sit down, which just will be a second. If you have a Father in heaven this morning, would you stand if you have a Father in heaven? If you have a grandfather in heaven this morning, would you stand? Okay. All right, let me ask you another. If you have a mother or a grandmother in heaven this morning, would you stand? Okay? Remain standing just for a minute. If you have another loved one, maybe not a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma, but somebody else that's a loved one in heaven, would you stand? And if you have an acquaintance, somebody that you know in heaven this morning, would you stand? All right, so everybody's standing. Thank you. You may be seated. My message this morning is to those of you that were standing just a second ago, which was everybody in the room. All of us have either a parent or a grandparent or a loved one or a friend in heaven. And this morning, my message is directed to you. Chuck read from Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment ago. And those of you that have studied the book of Hebrews know that in Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, those that have been noted for their faith. And in the Hebrews chapter 11, Abel is mentioned, where by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. Enoch is mentioned, who by faith walked with God. Noah is mentioned, who by faith, when he was warned of God of a coming flood, built an ark to the saving of his family. Abraham and Sarah are listed in the hall of faith. Abraham for believing God and Sarah for believing God when he came and told them that they were going to have a child when they were well past the age of childbearing. When they left their home and sought a place that God was going to tell them to go. He didn't tell them where they were going to go before they left. He was going to tell them when they got there. And so they're there. Jacob is mentioned there. Joseph is mentioned there. Moses is mentioned there. Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's God's reminder to us how important faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And so God mentions all these people. And we know their stories from other parts of the Bible. And he says, these by faith received a good report. And I believe that these that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are in heaven this morning. They're with God this morning in that place called heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 12, from where Chuck read verses 1 and 2, I think it's a continuation of chapter 11. Because it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's talking about the men and the women that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. They form a great cloud of witnesses. You see, this verse likens life to a sporting event. We're the ones that are participating. We're running the race that it talks about in verse 2 of that chapter. And as we run that race, this verse reminds us that we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. You've heard me say before that there's a difference between a spectator and a witness. A spectator is just a casual observer of a sporting event or something that's going on. Doesn't really care about the outcome. Doesn't really care about the people that are playing the game, so to speak. But a witness is somebody different. A witness is somebody that has played the game. A witness is somebody that cares about the outcome and the people that are playing the game. A witness is somebody who encourages and cheers for those that are in the contest. And a witness is somebody that weeps and prays for those that are in the contest. A witness is somebody that's been there, done that, and is now watching as somebody else does it. And this verse talks about we're encompassed about with this great cloud of witnesses that is cheering for us, that is praying, that are praying for us, that are urging us to keep on running. But we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that have run the race for God, and that are now in heaven watching our race, cheering for us, praying for us, urging us to run the race and not look back, keeping our eyes on our Savior as we go forward. The word witness, if you look it up in the Greek that the New Testament was written in, means this. It's someone that sees, hears, and knows what's going on. And so we're encompassed about with this great cloud of witnesses, those that see what's going on, those that hear what's going on, and those that know what's going on. Do you ever stop and think, as you live your life, that Abraham is watching you? That one who left his home to go to that place where he didn't know where God was going to lead him. That one who, when he was 99 years old, God came to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. And Sarah, who was 89, God came, gave her the same message, and they laughed. And yet, a year later, they were holding their little baby boy, Isaac. That one who we read in the book of Genesis took Isaac when he was a child, maybe a young teenager, up on top of Mount Moriah and was willing to offer him in obedience to God's command as a sacrifice to God. Do you ever think, as you lived your life, that one of the witnesses that are looking at how you live your life is Abraham, the man of faith, the father of the Jews? He's watching you. He is cheering you on. He is praying for you. He's concerned about how your life for Christ is going to work. Abraham is in that great cloud of witnesses, seeing and hearing and knowing what's going on in our lives. Do you ever stop and think that David is in that crowd? David, the king of Israel, the one who wrote the book of Psalms and wrote all the wonderful songs that are in that book praising God. The one that sinned, but the one that was forgiven of that sin and who wrote some of his best psalms in that time of trial in his life. Did you ever stop and think, Dick, as you were leading the singing, that David, the great musician, Chris, you ever stop to think as you were playing the piano, David, the great musician who played on his harp, is watching and he's hearing and he's seeing and he's knowing everything that goes on in your life as a Christian. He knows. He's one of those witnesses. Now, I could go down the list and I could point out to you others. I don't know about you, that gives me encouragement. It gives me encouragement that the Apostle Paul is in the grandstand of heaven and sees what goes on in our life and hears what goes on in our life and cheers for us and urges us to continue the fight. The one that wrote in our Sunday school lesson this morning, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark. Paul's in heaven this morning saying, don't give up, keep going, keep pressing on. And it encourages me to know that these that know what it is to live by faith are in heaven's grandstands, and they see and they hear and they know what's going on in our life. But let me remind you of another truth. It's a truth, when I mention it, most of you will say, I knew that. But I think it's a truth that doesn't come to the surface of our minds very often. Just like Abraham is in the grandstand of heaven watching us, just like David is in the grandstand of heaven watching us, just like Paul is in the grandstand of heaven seeing and hearing and knowing everything that goes on in our life, so are the dads of those that stood a moment ago when I asked the question, do you have a dad in heaven? Do you know that your father sits there beside Abraham and David and Paul, and he sees what's going on in your life? And he hears what's going on in your life. And he knows what's going on in your life. And he, like the saints that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, are cheering you on, are urging you on, are praying. I mean, Jesus is sitting there in the middle of the grandstand. He sees what's and knows and hears what's going on too. And I think many, many times as we live our Christian life, those that have dads in heaven, I think they turn to Jesus and they say, Jesus, my boy or my girl needs some help. Would you be with them in a special way? Just like David and Paul and Moses sat in the grandstands of heaven, so do all the moms that are in heaven this morning. And so do all the grandpas. And so do all the grandmas. And so do all the aunts and the uncles and the children and the grandchildren and other loved ones and friends and acquaintances that we know, that we have known. They too are in the grandstand of heaven. They too sat there beside the saints that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. They too sat there beside our Savior, and they see what's going on in our life, and they hear what's going on in our life, and they know what's going on in our life. And when the grandstands of heaven cheers because somebody has stood for the faith, our moms and our dads and our grandpas and our grandmas stand to their feet and they cheer as well. And when the grandstands of heaven join their hearts together in prayer for a saint that's going through a tough time, so do our moms and our dads and our grandpas and our grandmas and our friends who we've known and have gone on to heaven before us. They knit their hearts with the saints that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and lift a prayer to the Savior and lift a prayer to God the Father for us. And they're there. They're there. Now, you might think this morning, I see where you're going, Brother Darrell. I see exactly where you're going. That's another reason that we ought to live the Christian life. That's another reason we ought to do what's right. I mean, Jesus is there and he sees everything that we do. He knows every thought that we think. He sees what we see. He hears what we hear. He sees what we write. He hears what we say. He knows what we think. And we ought to live right and do right because Jesus is watching us. Amen? And we ought to live right and do right because Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Samson and all those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are watching us. They see, they hear, they know. And we ought to live right because they did. They're our example. And we ought to live right because we do have dads in heaven. And they see. And we ought to live right because we do have moms in heaven and they hear. And we ought to live right because we have loved ones and friends who are concerned about our life, and they're watching us and they're praying for us and they're cheering for us. And it ought to be a motivation to us to live right and to do right. Now that's a good direction and make a good sermon, but that's not my direction or my sermon this morning. Here's what my message is all about this morning. I'll tell you the title of it. Don't forget the dead. Don't forget the dead. We love somebody, a mom or a dad, a grandpa, a grandma, a friend. We love them, and they're alive. What do we do to somebody that we love? We stay in contact with them. I mean, if you love somebody, if you're close, you're going to visit them face to face often. If they're maybe a little bit distance and you can't visit them often, you're going to call them on the telephone and you're going to talk to them often. You're going to send them a card. I mean, on Father's Day, you're going to go somewhere, and you're going to buy a card, and you're going to write a little note in it if your dad's still alive, and tell him how much you love him and how much you appreciate him. You're going to send him that card. On Mother's Day, you would do the same thing. And you'd send a card on those 2 days to your grandfather or your grandmother. Now we have it. If you care about somebody, you can send email to them. I mean, you can get on your computer and you can type back and forth to one another and send messages back and forth to one another. And in that way, show that you care. I mean, there's so many ways when people are alive that we care for, that we show our affection for them. You call them and you send them cards. You do all those things. And so that person dies. They go to heaven. We grieve. We mourn. And right after they've gone to heaven, we think about them often. Maybe every day. But then the every day, as they slip further into our memory, becomes every week. And then as time passes and they slip deeper and deeper into our memory, maybe we only think about them on Father's Day or Mother's Day or when we get together at a family reunion. Something like that. But I want to share a truth with you this morning. And again, it's a truth that you know. And when I say it, you'll say, yeah, I knew that. But it's a truth that I don't think we think about enough. Do you know if you have a father in heaven this morning, your father is not dead? He's alive. Do you know if you have a mother in heaven this morning, your mother is not dead. She's alive. Do you know if you have a grandfather or a grandmother or an aunt or an uncle or another family member in heaven this morning? They are not dead. They are alive. Now, the body that you knew them in, that they got around in when they were down here on earth, is dead. It lies in a grave somewhere, and it's decaying this morning. It's rotting this morning. But the person that you call dad, the person that you called mom, the person that you called grandpa, the person that you loved, the person when they were alive that you visited, the person when they were alive you sent cards to, the person when they were alive you phoned on the phone and you expressed your love to them, they are not dead. They are alive in the presence of our Savior. They are alive in heaven, and they can see and they can hear and they know what's going on in your life. Don't forget them. Here's what I mean. You're going to think I'm crazy, but here's exactly what I mean. And I'll make when I get to the end, just stay with me to the end, please, this morning. If my grandfather, fathers, I have two of them that I think are in heaven this morning. When they were alive, if I sent them a Father's Day card or a grandfather's card on Father's Day, and I wrote in that card, "Grandpa, I love you. Thank you for all the things that you did for me." If I did that when they were alive, and they're still alive in heaven this morning, then what's wrong with me going to the store and buying a card for my grandfathers, taking a pencil or a pen and writing in that card the same thing? Now look, say, "Brother Darrell, this is weird." No, it's not. This is truth. If they're in heaven, how many, and I've already asked you, you have grandpas and dads in heaven this morning. Some of you do. And they see what's going on in your life. They know what's going on. You say, "Oh no, Brother Darrell, I don't think it works that way." Hey, we read a couple verses a moment ago that there's joy in heaven when somebody gets saved. How do you think that works? You think they're just sitting around playing their harps and doing what they do in heaven, and then an announcement comes. "Can I have your attention, please? This is God. Somebody else just got saved." And they break out into cheers? No, I don't think it works that way. I think they know what's going on. They watch as somebody presents the gospel to their loved one or somebody they know. They pray as the soul winner tells them about Jesus, and they're begging God, "Oh God, I love that person. I know I'm in heaven, but would you show them that they need Jesus? Would you show them they need to get saved?" And when that person says yes, they jump up and down and they say, "Hey, my loved one got saved. There's joy in heaven." Look, if they didn't know the struggle that it was to get that person saved, there would be no joy. And so they watch and they pray and they beg God for that person to get saved. And when that person gets saved, they can't help but have joy. They can't help but clap. They can't help but dance. There's joy in heaven. And if they can see somebody who gets saved, and if we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that means my grandpa this morning can read the Father's Day card that I wrote to him this week. I went out and I got two Father's Day cards from my grandpas that are in heaven. One on Debbie's side of the family, one on mine. And I wrote those cards just like I wrote one to my dad this week. I didn't put stamps on them, and I didn't mail them anywhere. But I took him to work and I set him up in my office. And I believe, just like when my grandfathers were alive, I believe that this week when I wrote that card, they read that card and they were reminded that they had a grandson that loved them and appreciated them. That's what I'm talking about. If your dad or if your grandfather or if your mom or if your grandma, look, when my grandmothers were alive, I didn't let a week go by without at least calling them on the phone. Every week. The last two that we had were my mom's mom and Debbie's dad's stepmother. And we called them every week. When I was in Detroit, I don't care what time of day the meeting was, when my grandmother was alive, if she knew that I was in Detroit and did not stop by and see her, she called me. And she said, "Where were you? You were in Detroit and you didn't come by and see me." I said, "Grandma, I couldn't." She said, "Nope, that's no excuse." And I knew that every time, I don't care if the meeting got out at 10 o'clock at night, if I was down that way, she expected me to come by and see her. When we just talked. We talked. I told her what was going on. She told me about some of the things that were going on, and we talked. We loved one another. Now look, if every week when they were alive, I made it a point to talk to them, just because their body's dead, they're still alive in heaven. Why should I let a week go by without talking to them? Say, "Brother Darrell, do you talk out loud?" "Sure, they can hear me." Now I do it when I'm by myself. That's one of the good things about having a car phone. You know, you can be driving down the road and you have that thing to your ear and you can be talking to your grandma who's in heaven and nobody knows about it. And they don't think you're weird. And you don't have to pay for it. Now look, and I know some of you may not be with me this morning, but listen, they're alive. They're not dead. They hear what you say. They see what you write. So why shouldn't you, if you did that, and I tell you what, it's a tragedy and it's sad when children have their parents and their grandparents alive and they ignore them on earth. And most people in this room would say, "That's absolutely all right, preacher. A child, I don't care what the relationship is, I don't care what kind of water has gone under the bridge, a child should not ignore their parents, a child should not ignore their grandparents. They ought to love each other, and they ought to tell each other that they love each other." Well, just because the body of your loved one has died and lays in a grave somewhere this morning, your loved one's not dead. What's wrong with talking to them? What's wrong with getting by yourself somewhere? Maybe at the graveside. But you don't even have to do there. That's just the body. They're not there. That's just the shell. What's wrong with getting by yourself somewhere and talking to your mom, talking to your dad, talking to your grandparent? They hear you. They hear. In fact, I think my grandmother hears me better now than when she was alive, because she wore hearing aids, and a lot of times I think she just turned them off because she didn't want to hear what was going on. But she hears me. And what's wrong with getting by yourself and talking to him? And then finally, what's wrong with listening to him? I say, wait a minute, Brother Darrell. Here's where you're going to get weird. Is this where we light the candles and get to smoke? Are you saying that your grandfather and your grandmother talk to you from heaven? No. But there's a verse in the Bible that says this: Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. You know what that verse means? That means Abel, when he lived his life, left a testimony that as I think about Abel, Abel's life speaks to me. Speaks to me. Now, I listen to my grandparents and others that I know in heaven the same way. You see, as I think about them, I remember their life and what they told me and what they lived in front of me by example, and they, being dead, yet speak to me. That's why I think it's so important that we don't forget the dead. That's why I want to encourage you this morning, and I know maybe some of you are going to have to think about this, but if they're in heaven and they can see us and they can hear us and they know what's going on, then why don't we take some time and talk to them? Why don't we take some time and write them some notes? Because the more that you think about them, the more you'll remember them, and the more you remember them, they, being yet dead, shall speak. I was thinking about my grandmother this week as I was thinking about this message. You know what I heard? More than anything else, the thing that my grandmother told me was, you need to get saved. Now, she didn't tell me that after I got saved, but before I got saved, more than anybody else in my life, my grandmother witnessed to me. Let me let you listen in on what she told me. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, she would tell you that you're a sinner. She would tell you that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is eternal separation from God. But she would also tell you of a Savior who she sees now, whose presence she's in. She would tell you of a Savior who left heaven, came and lived among us without sin, and went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. And if you'd simply come and receive him, you too could have a home in heaven. You too could have your sins forgiven. You too could know what it is to be a child of God. You know what? I think if you listen to your dads that are in heaven this morning, and you listen to your moms and your grandparents and loved ones that are in heaven, and you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, they tell you the same thing. They would tell you that you need to trust Christ. They would tell you that you need to just make that decision to make Jesus your Savior. And the second thing I think they tell us this morning, and I know my grandfather told me this often, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, it's funny. I don't usually study my Sunday school lesson until Saturday night. And when I read the Sunday school lesson last night about persistence, about not quitting, I knew what I was going to say in my message. I said, oh, dear God, you're so good. Just to bring everything together and mesh the Sunday school lesson with the message. I can't tell you how many times my grandfather called me in. He said, hey, you know, life's not always fair, and life's not always easy, and life, you won't be on the mountaintop all the time. He said, the greatest thing that you can do is to not quit. If you start something, finish it. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, do it. Finish what you start. And I think if I could tune you in to my grandfather as he being yet dead speaketh to me, that's the thing he would tell you this morning. Don't quit. We sing that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I think your dad or your mom or your grandpa or your grandma or your loved one in heaven would tell you the same thing this morning. I know it's tough. I know you're having a rough time right now. So did we. And God was good to us, and he gave us what we need to make it. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. He never gives up on us. You just keep at it. You keep at it. So this morning, I know this is probably one of the most unusual messages I've ever preached. But I believe our loved ones in heaven can hear us, can see us, and they know what's going on. They're witnesses. And I don't think it would be weird or strange or odd for you to go out this afternoon somewhere, get by yourself, talk to your mom, talk to your dad, talk to your grandparents. You would if they were alive. Let me remind you, they are alive. They're not dead. And as you talk to them, it'll bring back memories. Let them talk to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the blessed memories we have of loved ones that have gone to heaven. I pray that you'd help us not forget them. I pray, Father, that we'd realize that they're in your presence, and as we speak and as we write, they can see and they can hear. And I pray, Father, that all the good things that they taught us, all the examples that they set for us, we would not let pass away because we don't think about them often enough. Thank you. Thank you for putting people like that in our lives that we can remember, that will help us and be an encouragement to us. Father, I pray this morning if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, as they hear the Holy Spirit speak, as they realize there's not only people here but people in heaven that are praying for them, I pray this morning they'd see their sin. They'd see the penalty for that sin. They'd see the one who went to the cross and died for that sin. And this morning, they'd simply come in childlike faith and receive Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for all the Christians that are here. Some of them are going through some tough times right now. You know who they are. And you know the circumstance in their life. I pray, Father, that as we consider that great cloud of witnesses, that we'd run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, our Savior, as he encourages us and as all those gathered around him encourages us. I pray we keep on running, we keep on doing what you've called us to do. Bless the invitation now. I pray that those that need to get saved would come, and those that need to make some other decision for you, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's church membership, whatever it is, I pray they come this morning and do what the Holy Spirit's telling them to do, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.